it used to be that I would make a joke about Watch for Falling Pieces of Skylab. Back in the day, you know. But it's a little different now. Now it's Watch for Falling Pieces of the Heavenly Palace 1. Or Tiangong 1. Which is a test space station from the Chinese space program, which is now uncontrolled and is due to do an uncontrollable re-entry somewhere between the 34th North and 34th South parallels, because that's a small region of the Earth, sometime around March 31st.
We're all going to die.
No, we're okay. Not
okay.
All going
to
die.
Oh, you're right. Somebody it's not the though. Apocalypse.
Yes,
again.
Yeah, wrong.
Okay,
no, that's
sorry.
That's my other show that I don't talk about here. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. That is our voicemail number, toll-free nationwide. Joining me today, again, is Meredith. How are you?
I am doing...
That's okay, all. Yes, all right.
Yep.
Don't wait for the adjective. Got yep. it. All right, and joining us for the first time, actually, but who's been a friend of the show and a friend of mine for some time, is Tom. How are you?
Hi there. Hey, thanks for having me on.
Hey, no problem. I think the important thing to note right away is that Tom and I share very similar musical tastes.
It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, which may or may not become important as the day goes on. So it's not just me anymore. I'm not alone.
Hey, you have good musical taste. You know some bands that other people know of.
I do, but you know, specifically when I get into the prog rock thing, everybody just sort of checks out,
what?
Except for Tom.
Yeah, I perk up.
We need to talk about prog rock some more.
Yeah, uh-huh. I think that I'm totally going to have a problem with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's this space station that they put up that they've been working with for a while. It stopped responding, and it's going to re-enter sometime before the end of the month on some middle swath band of the Earth where most of the people are. It's like as far north as like Ottawa and as far south as Tasmania.
And I was looking at a map. The probability is relatively less in the center of it, and toward the end, a little more, probably because it's going.
Oh yeah, because of the way the orbit goes,
we're kind of in the prime.
Oh, so it might land on us.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but I hate to put the kibosh on your hoped for astral doom. But
why are you looking at me when you say that?
Because I have to look at somebody. but I think the chances of it actually landing on somebody are on the order of 1 in 1 trillion. So, and for the record,
like the Powerball,
like a little better. Is that better or worse than the Powerball? I don't know. I actually don't know. I know so little about lottery systems that I actually don't know what the
probability
probably
is. Having a space station drop on you is worse than winning the Powerball. So
well,
it's,
I
it's
imagine,
worse.
Yeah, the end result is
but
worse.
Yes.
Yeah. But I remember. I read up on it, and one of the famous things about Skylab re-entering was that it did parts of it did land in Western Australia, and one town famously sued NASA for a $50 littering fee.
$50?
I'm pretty sure they paid it.
Oh, wow.
That was nice of them.
Unfortunately, that caused NASA to go over budget, so they had to close down the Skylab program. It was that littering that did it. Richard Nixon had nothing to do with it. It was all littering. Speaking of space programs, avowed flat Earth proponent and self-taught rocket engineer Mike Hughes has finally succeeded in launching himself 1,800 feet in a steam-powered rocket on Saturday on privately owned land in California's Mojave Desert. Somewhat remarkably, he also returned to Earth in one piece, suffering only a sore back and a cracked rocket nose. Hughes reached an estimated 350 miles an hour on his ascent and had to deploy two parachutes. Hughes said that despite delays of almost 5 months, he had finally manned up and done it. He considers his stunt a success, expressing gratitude that he could go home, have dinner, and see his cats, but lamented that his ambitions tend to bring out all the nuts. Hughes' next project includes a rocket-powered balloon and a gubernatorial run.
Yeah, but those nuts he brings out, those though.
and nut number one?
So a gubernatorial run? Okay,
yeah.
That's the most crazy thing I'm getting out of this. Forget about him going in a rocket 1,800 feet in the air at 350 miles per hour.
Well, isn't it a standard narrative for crackpot politicians that they try to do something that will kill them, and the government says,
Nope.
Maybe not kill yourself.
It's almost as good as a Purple Heart.
And then they go, well, if the government won't let me do something remarkably insane, I will become the government and do more remarkably insane things. That's the narrative, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that how we got Jesse the Traveler?
Oh.
All the times I said, if I ran the world, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's a little bit that, but, you know, it's like, if I ran the world, I might feed people or something like that.
Yeah.
No,
if
this guy ran the world, he would build a pressure vessel inside of an RV and shoot himself into space on a steam-powered rocket in order to prove that the Earth is Frisbee-shaped.
No, but maybe not.
But whenever he does this important scientific research, for some reason, totally blowing this Mike Hughes stuntman/limo driver's mind, is it just seems to attract, I don't know, people he describes as nuts.
And that has nothing to do with the fact that he thinks the Earth is flat?
Apparently not. Well, not according to him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shooting himself into the atmosphere.
Yeah, you see, okay.
Ba-dum-bum.
I'm going to cause a schism right here, I think. So I'm going to agree with Mike Hughes that the Earth is in fact frisbee shaped. It is a rounded plane a little bit, but it is in fact a random sphere. The atmosphere is actually spherical and it sits on top of the frisbee. And if you go into the forbidden zones outside of the atmosphere on top of the flat Earth,
I mean, you're talking about a whole sphere and a half sphere.
I'm thinking a whole sphere resting on top of the frisbee, like a golf ball on top of a plate.
Oh.
Yeah.
So if you go to the ends of the golf ball Earth, you...
There's no air. Yeah, and you die. Yeah. That's my theory.
Why isn't Mike Hughes going to the end of the frisbee to check
demand,
this out?
I demand...
Going to the flatosphere.
Yeah. Who knows?
What happens to the people on the other side of the plate?
There's no other side of the plate. What are you talking about? Oh, it's a one-dimensional...
That's where the turtle lives.
Oh. Yeah, that's where the turtle is. Fair. Oh. Yeah, yeah, okay. I demand that geologists teach the controversy of my completely... I would call it the COGT, the COGT, the completely outlandish geological theory.
I don't think you're going to get anyone on board with you except for maybe Mike Hughes.
Maybe. Yeah, who knows?
You could get...
Oh, I'll have a governor on my side.
You could get 97% of all crackpots.
So there is this wonderful poster that you can find on archive.org, which is an 1880s or 1890s map of the flat Earth, and it's really huge. I mean, it's like a gigabyte TIFF file or like a 300 megabyte TIFF file, and it's like 8 feet wide, and I really want to get it. I want to print it out and put it on my wall.
Yeah, that would be a good place for it on the wall. Seeing like an entire wall of your house covered with this map of the flat Earth.
Yeah. Okay, in slightly less outlandish news, an Ontario court has ruled that a Reformed Presbyterian couple was discriminated against when two foster children were removed from their care because parents refused to talk about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny with the girls. Derek and Francis Bars, whose religious beliefs dictate that all lying is morally wrong, pushed back against the children's aid worker who insisted that they tell toddlers in their care that the Easter Bunny was real. The children were removed with only a day's notice, and the Bars were prohibited from fostering other children. The Children's Aid Society claimed that the fostering contract was terminated because of the couple's refusal to respect cultural needs of the children, despite the couple buying Christmas gifts and chocolates during Easter, and despite no instruction from the biological mother in how Easter should be celebrated. The aid worker responsible for the girls' care later testified that she assumed the Bars would prejudice the girls against prospective same-sex adoptive couples, even though the girls were not eligible for adoption.
What does the Easter Bunny have to a same-sex adoptive?
I know.
Not following here.
Yeah, I suspect, and the sort of the meta-narrative that I'm sensing from this is that the care worker came in, saw what was happening, and was like, oh, okay, them being in this fostering system is going to completely prejudice them against a huge population of people who want to adopt, and we need to do something about that. But maybe not lying about the Easter Bunny is somehow more palatable to a board. Like,
Yeah, because it's not outright discrimination against religious folk. Essentially, that's what's happening here, right? Is the parents are having the kids taken away because of their refusal to...
Due to their own religious beliefs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had the kids taken away because of their religious beliefs.
Yeah.
They're not their biological kids. They are foster kids, which does change things. There's a lot more government intervention in those cases.
But we're talking about religious beliefs. This is the Easter Bunny is something all parties agree is woo.
Right.
Yeah. And has nothing to do with technically religion other than the fact that it's a marketing ploy tied to a religious holiday.
I worship chocolate.
I would rather worship chocolate.
Well, this brings out an old chestnut that we haven't discussed in a while, which is atheist opinions on the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. Have I put the question to you, Meredith?
I don't think we have, no.
Okay.
Not since I've been here.
Say you were, for some strange reason, responsible for a kid. Let's make this a thought experiment.
Okay. All right, thought experiment. We can do that.
Or maybe more realistically, you were counseling somebody on the subject. What is your position on the matter? Would you teach children about Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny?
Personally, I don't care.
You have literally no opinion.
I do have opinion. It's similar to the Tooth Fairy. It's a nice fantasy for children. And at that point in a child's age, when they're young, it's probably easier to go along with the fantasies of Easter bunnies and Santa Clauses than to make them the odd kid out who doesn't believe in these things and all their friends are going to ostracize them.
Fair.
I mean, my own feeling as an atheist, I have kids and I mean, you know, I don't even remember, frankly. Is that important to me as to what I taught them? They're getting older now. But, I mean, the Christians unabashedly stole these observances from, what, a Northern European religion cult? I don't mind stealing it.
Right.
Give me a break.
Okay.
Yeah, and everything.
It's mine now. Appropriate.
Yeah, definitely. I like the idea of the conglomeration of appropriation. I guess you could say.
Kids do grow out of that stuff.
I mean,
is there an age at which they grow out of the belief in the divinity of Jesus Christ?
Apparently.
Well, and that's a little bit of a.
Humans do that at the age of 130, which causes a bit of a problem. I wouldn't. I don't know. I might use it as a bit of culture jamming, as I would just use the whole thing immediately and say, okay, a lot of kids believe in the Easter Bunny. It's crap. You now have to pretend that you believe in the Easter Bunny. Go. I think it would be an interesting way. But this is why I don't want to have children, is because I would probably,
I'd probably ruin children. So that's a bad idea.
Yeah, I would be intentionally creating cognitive dissonance at that point. You know, sort of like my story
performing thought experiments on your children.
Yeah, yeah. Just call me B.F. Skinner.
I think it's
a box for Christmas.
Right.
There's minimal harm in believing in something like Santa Claus.
Right. So you do believe, but you do believe that not teaching them that causes harm. But it isn't.
I don't necessarily think that like withholding. Oh, no, I did say that. Causes harm. It could. Yeah. I mean, it's such a part of our American culture to have these marketed holidays.
But does it reach the level of harm to have foster kids taken away from a family? Even though that...
That in and of itself is harmful, so...
Inward, no.
Yeah.
No. No, it's not that harmful.
So, oddly enough, occasionally...
It's not harmful.
Occasionally here on Ask an Atheist, we do come down on the side of the religious folks in legal battles, and this is one of those times, I think. I think we are all on the same page on this one, it seems. But it does seem like the failure here was on the care worker to not... apparently their concerns had nothing at the end of the day to do with Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. And it was a really weak argument, but they used it to cover for what they felt was a weaker argument. And I feel like if they had just gone for the heart of the matter at the outset, they might have had a greater or better outcome. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I think they're being taught discriminatory practices in this environment. I don't know what the law there is, but it seems like that would be a stronger case than, well, they get Christmas gifts, but they're not from Santa. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go into a break. When we come back, we're going to have a little bit of the best words, I think, something we haven't done in a while.
Billy, I am a Nigerian prince, and I want to hide a bajillion dollars in your locker.
Wow, a bajillion dollars?
All I need is your lunch money.
What a great deal. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because you want to believe something doesn't mean you should. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled, week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
Has Ngadwe Trust invaded your town? Are you tired of government officials who want to plaster Ngadwe Trust on taxpayer-owned property? Are you afraid because your local sheriff placed an Ngadwe Trust decal on the patrol cars? We are here to help. The original motto project is for those who feel the separation of church and state is an important issue and should be honored regardless of your belief or lack thereof. Theists, non-theists, and all free thinkers are welcome. We need your support to show politicians that diversity exists within our nation, and their promotion of a monotheistic religion and push for theocracy will not be tolerated. Stand up and be heard. Join us at originalmotto.us.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've played this music. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. It's kind of a momentous occasion in American politics today because a porn star is being interviewed later today on 60 Minutes.
I think it's actually happening right now.
Is it happening now?
I think so.
Okay, but it's specifically about the President of the United States, which is a statement I didn't think I'd be saying right now.
There's a lot of things I never would have imagined happening. Yeah.
We are in the darkest timeline.
Oh, boy. So, an attorney who frequently supported Donald Trump on Fox News has backed out of joining the president's legal team. Joseph DiGenova, who was targeted by Trump because of because the president enjoyed his TV appearances, and DiGenova's wife, Victoria Tonsing, who announced their job rejection 3 days after their supposed hire. Trump's former top attorney leading the Russia case, John Dowd, stepped down earlier this week, despite Trump's assertion that many lawyers and top law firms want to represent him in the Russia case, and his suggestion that fame and fortune will never be turned down by a lawyer. Only two individuals currently occupy special counsel seats: Ty Cobb, not the baseball player, and a general counselor who does not represent Trump personally, and Jay Sekulow, a lawyer turned conservative talk show host. Back to a lawyer, I would assume, if he's representing Donald Trump.
I think
Trump.
He does both at the same time somehow.
That would be difficult in the courtroom. Would they let you bring in a barracks box and a microphone to do, Your Honor, the liberals are destroying our life. objection! Oh, they're going to put us all in FEMA camp. Yeah, I'd move to... Yeah, I don't see that working too well.
Well, not at the...
not at the same
time. Don't take me literally.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Although, wait a minute, as things are going, it's a possibility.
It is a possibility, I suppose, yeah. I mean, court cases on YouTube. I think there was an episode of Max Headroom, the TV series, that was literally that court cases were aired on television because that was the whole theme of the TV series.
Oh, yeah, I think
so. But I think we're heading that way. Yeah, so we haven't talked about Trump in a while, but things are going apace. I mean, he's more mired in just weird controversies than we've seen in a while, where you've got his supposed affairs who were covered up by a lawyer. The lawyer he's looking for, or the lawyer that he was working with, established his own corporation In the Stormy case? Yeah, in that one. And then both parties to the contract were named anonymously in the contract and was never signed by the president.
Yeah, so is it a contract?
Yeah.
That now that they're fighting about something that, you know, about speaking about something that never happened, it's like,
yeah.
Isn't that giving it just, you know, give it up? It
right.
happened.
Yeah.
And then there's the other case where a Playboy model story was bought by the National Enquirer, who's run by a friend of the president.
Oh, yeah.
And that was capped. And
they basically buried it.
Yeah, they captured and killed that one off. As they gave her money, they started... They pressed her age in order to get her to sign because we're going to give you work and you're not going to get this kind of work otherwise.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of creepiness there.
Old.
Yeah. And then you've got, because you're old.
Well, I mean, that's a legitimate concern for women.
It is a legitimate concern for
when we pass a certain age, we're just past our expiration date.
Apparently, yeah.
No good anymore.
And so they use that to clearly, it's not being said outright, but that's the clear implication that they were using that to manipulate her into a contract. That was not in her favor. Not significantly in her favor. I mean, they have been doing this, some of the stuff that they promised, but not all of it.
I don't know how she's arguing that to get out of the,
I think so,
the,
yeah.
the non-disclosure.
And then you've got the case of the FBI guy who was acting director during Trump's presidency, who was fired literally one day before he would get a pension because they didn't like him. Like, I don't know if you read the news stories on this guy, the McCabe guy.
McCabe.
Yeah.
Didn't Trump say just like a few months ago he would like he loved him and he was never going to fire him?
Not lately.
Not lately.
Maybe at one point.
But that is a thing. And I'm trying to read the news stories of this. And I'm trying to understand what's happening there. And it looks like when you read through all of the Washington insider verbiage and all of the fun logical things that they set up, it looks like the story really is they didn't like him. They thought they had something on him because they didn't like him. And so they fired him one day before he could retire on a pension, just as an FU to the guy. There seems to be nothing beyond this other than it's not even politics. It's petty.
Well, this is the guy who
schoolyard
had
crap.
Didn't he have it in his power to fire Mueller?
Apparently he did.
And then he didn't fire Mueller. That's what this is about. So now they're being vindictive.
I guess so. But Sessions doesn't want to fire Mueller because he already feels like he's in a world of pain.
Sessions can't fire Mueller.
Oh, Sessions can't. Right, because recused himself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you unrecuse yourself? I've always wondered about
that. He seems to have in some matters.
Yeah.
That's
the problem. So in...
boundaries.
In this environment... does it make any sense at all that, I mean, yeah, lawyers like fame and fortune, but they also like being lawyers. So they might not follow fame, fortune, and fame, fortune, and disbarment in this case. Like, I can completely believe that lawyers would be running as far away from this case as they can.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not even technically... yes, all lawyers should be running away from this and they don't want to touch it. But in this case, the two lawyers actually had a very good reason not to take the case in that they're already representing two other people that are under investigation.
Conflict of interest.
No, yeah. It's a conflict of interest. Trump just decided he wanted these lawyers to be his lawyers.
Trump thought it, and therefore, in Trump's mind, it was so.
Yeah, and then he announced it and they were like, whoa, dude, we can't.
Mm.
Sorry.
I do sort of wonder if it's like, oh crap, Trump wants us. Find somebody else and represent them.
What this reminds me of is when Trump said, oh, we have this battle carrier group heading to your country, and then the battle carrier group several days later said, no, you don't. You didn't give us any orders.
Well, that's another thing that happens is that Trump does believe that Twitter does seem to be a channel by which he can give orders. That's happened with that carrier group. It also happened with the transgender ban, which I think he formally put into place this week. I don't know too much about, I know stuff about it, but I'm preparing that for another a different episode. Which is
he may have had some of his underlings actually run interference and try and get that through in a formal way.
Yeah,
from the feeling I'm getting now,
that's the way it seems. But originally he said he wanted to do the he was going to do the ban on Twitter, and had apparently expected that his public announcement on Twitter constituted orders, and the Pentagon
just
was like
signing an executive order, yeah, just via Twitter now.
And the Pentagon's answer was essentially what.
As it should be.
So that's what we're up to. So we've got lawyers running away from the guy, controversies that, one, seem to be sticking for once, and two, he is not tweeting about. He is not talking about Stormy Daniels on Twitter.
Yeah, she hasn't got any nicknames.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, one presupposes that she might have nicknames that we're not going to hear about until the court case. But
right, but that's been
Twitter does.
Yeah, it's been Trump's, one of Trump's major MOs is to call out his haters with all of his stupid nicknames, and Stormy hasn't got a dumb nickname yet.
That's true.
Food for thought.
Yeah, and that's the situation we're at. So I ask you, my one political bet that I'm still standing by after the last 2 years, which have been the strangest 2 years of politics I've ever experienced, is if Trump goes 4 years, he goes 8 years. But I don't expect him to go four.
Me neither. I've been predicting since back in the day when he was first elected, he's going down.
And all of this stuff is around a good chunk of the stuff that we're talking about is basically this miasma surrounding the Mueller investigation, where the Mueller investigation, as one would expect, is silent. They're not saying anything, really.
And Trump doesn't know how to fight it.
And Trump doesn't know what to do. Yeah. He's trying to resurrect Roy Cohn as if, and so he can put him in the courtroom as they did with Pope Stephen.
Zombie Roy Cohn.
Yeah, zombie Roy Cohn. I would watch that movie. I would really watch that movie. Speaking of movies I wouldn't watch, an allergy and immunology journal recently published the case of a woman in Spain who died from organ failure related to having suffered a severe allergic response to bee sting acupuncture. The victim had used apitherapy to alleviate stress and muscle pain, but developed a sudden anaphylactic reaction during an appointment that left her unconscious and struggling to breathe. Although initially revived and stabilized with epinephrine, she suffered persistent low blood pressure and eventually died of a massive stroke several weeks later. The bee sting treatments, deemed unsafe and unadvisable by doctors in the journal report, is touted by celebrities like Kate Middleton and Gwyneth Paltrow as a remedy for all manner of ailments ranging from acute infection to tendonitis to multiple sclerosis.
Oofta.
Yeah. Not the bees! No, seriously, not the bees. Don't do that.
All right.
Now, I got looking up on Google Scholar. It's a wonderful thing. Mm. You can look in the journals. This was bee venom as acupuncture. I think it probably wasn't the acupuncture that killed her.
We can basically toss out the acupuncture because there's no evidence that it does anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
To the best of my knowledge, I've never.
Yeah, I mean, okay, if you don't clean the needles, you might get an infection.
Yeah,
I suspect that might be a possibility.
There is always the placebo effect,
right? And there's also the placebo effect. But bee stings apparently have some medical basis.
Yeah, I was looking it up. There's research done, and in fact, for rheumatoid arthritis, that's where it all seems to be aiming towards. It seems to have a mechanism reducing interleukin-4. And interleukin 3, I don't know exactly what those do, but they,
they're things.
Have something to do with inflammation.
Right.
You get more interleukin, you get more inflammation, and I assume more pain.
Right.
Ouch.
That seems to work out that way.
And maybe that they've decided that there's, you fractionate the bee venom, there's a zillion different things in there, and it's some peptide, little chunks of proteins that have something to do with this. And the rest of it, it's just bee venom doing what bee venom does, which is occasionally sets up anaphylactic shock.
Yeah.
People get allergic to it.
That's the thing.
Especially if you repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, one of these days your immune system might wake up and go, stop it.
Like, you can show me 8 inches of paper showing the positive effects bee venom might have on whatever ailment I might have. I'm staying well away because I'm one of those people who is allergic to bee stings. When I go to Camp Quest Northwest, for example, they make me carry an EpiPen. Just because I might die.
Good idea.
Yeah. Like, I've never gone into anaphylactic shock, but I've been stung twice in my life. Once in the neck, and that puffed up, but it was fine. But then a few years later, I got stung in the leg, and they had to cut me out of my jeans.
Whoa.
Yeah. Wow.
And, I've seen people blow up, but that, ooh.
Yeah. And that's apparently consistent with how bee allergic reactions happen, is you get stung once, and it's fine, but then your immune system sort of gets the scent, and right. then...
Certain aspects, and it goes down a certain pathway, and, yeah, right. bad news.
Okay. And then, so...
And it seems to take a couple of exposures to anything, you know, any kind of allergy like that, peanut mm-hmm. allergies, bee allergies, a couple of exposures, and it just wipes you out if you develop that reaction.
Yeah, and doing something like acupuncture with bees, where you're having, I don't know how many bees they have sting you, but it has to be a lot. It's probably more than just one at a time.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that increase your propensity to get an allergic reaction and go into shock?
But multiple sclerosis, what are they doing? Shoving bees behind your eyeball to get past the blood-brain barrier?
Oh, like, yeah.
What are they doing? Like, that's
something you just need to make a sense. Surgical incision.
Yeah. No. You see, if it kills you, you don't have multiple sclerosis anymore. The symptoms are gone.
That's how it cures it. Okay.
This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. If you want to yell at us, that's where you go. So bee stings, I mean, we know what bee stings do. They hurt, and for some of us, they... I would keep bees. Like, I obsessively watch beekeeping videos on YouTube.
My grandparents kept bees.
Yeah, because I mean, I like honey. I use it in brewing. I use it in cooking. I use it in a bunch of places, and it's a great substance. And bees are necessary for a whole bunch of stuff.
And these days, they've got problems. You know, the more bees, the better.
Yeah,
we need them.
Yeah, they don't.
We need them, and they need us to help.
You know, they're starting to actually get an edge on. They seem to be getting an edge on colony collapse disorder, and wax moths and stuff like that, and varroa mites and all the stuff that can hit bees. I'm not kidding. I obsessively watch this stuff.
Okay.
Bee population in the United States, in North America, and in parts of Europe is ridiculously down to what it used to be. And we need those bees for agriculture. They serve like really, I sound like Dan. they serve really important purposes. And so like there's new beekeeping sort of groups that are popping up that I would love to join.
I see every spring at Costco, they're, you know, you can buy an apiary, you can set up, they have them again this year.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
There's there's two community farms within walking distance of here, and both of them will probably have their hives. They had their hives installed by about April last year, and they'll probably do it again this year. And so every time there's a bee, and so there is a higher percentage of bees in my neighborhood. And so every time I see a bee, I just kind of have to walk away because I don't want to get stung.
I've never actually been stung.
Bees are our friend.
Yeah.
Usually.
Well, bees are a friend to humanity. I might have to go to the non-bee section of the restaurant, I'll put it that way. But acupuncture with bees, that's not friendly.
No. Not to anyone. The bees don't enjoy it. No. People don't enjoy it. It. And if they say they are, they're lying to themselves.
Yeah, no.
Well, this person specifically didn't enjoy it. Unfortunately,
she's dead now.
Yeah. What was this? What were they trying to treat with this? Scurvy?
I am not sure. I thought
maybe
I had
rheumatoid
read
arthritis.
It was
okay.
Something. They said everything though.
Yeah, they said literally everything. Multiple MS. Come on, guys. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-7... Wait, what did I do? 844-753-7842. Where is my mind today? We're going to go to the break when we come back.
My mind.
Oh, yeah. We'll listen to the Pixies later. When we go to the break, when we come back, we're going to have a little bit of a musical, segment thing. I don't know.
Ask an Atheist may have gone on the road, but we're not making big bucks.
We still need to keep the lights on,
and 95% of our costs are for airtime alone.
That's why we need your contributions.
If you've got something to advertise, consider Ask an Atheist in your ad budget.
Our listener Peggy said it best. Step up and contribute to keep secular voices on the air. For $5, you could have a latte or a moment of science.
Take on Peggy's challenge and contribute today.
For details, go to askanatheist.tv or contribute directly via PayPal to paypal@askanatheist.tv.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And in the break, we did a little bit of research, and the lady in Spain was being treated for stress and muscle tightness.
Yeah, going once a month for 2 years for stress and muscle tightness.
Well, I assume that's solved now.
Maybe a muscle.
Hey! we're making
for that, too.
We're making fun of dead people. I hate it when I do that, but I do it so... I'm a terrible human being.
Something natural selection.
I try not to.
Working in
that.
The bee's favor this time.
Well, presumably the stinging bee died.
For stress and massage is kind of what I'll probably do.
Yeah, I think I'll stick with the stuff I'm doing. Oh. I don't mean to make fun of somebody who's dead, but bee acupuncture, man, that is some stuff. That is, like, do they have, like...
Some of Gwyneth Paltrow's stuff is just stupid, like jade eggs that go into your hoo-ha. Some stuff is actually dangerous, like getting stung by bees.
Yeah. What is the bee?
It's all stupid, though.
It's all stupid, yeah. what is the bee deployment? Do they have, like, a bee syringe?
No, I'm thinking hold it with a little tweezer,
I've seen videos, like, a long time ago, 60 Minutes, I think, and they're just showing, they pick up the bee and just jam the rear end into your arm. It'd sting you.
I don't think that bee consented to that.
No.
I don't know where to go with that. That's
deep aside.
To the next story.
to the next story, I guess, is where we go. Yeah, why not? So we have an email who comes to this comes to us from RNSB from the internet, who writes, did the virtual currency girls remind anyone else of the sodium song from Mystery Science Theater 3000? And for those of you who weren't around last week, what we're talking about is this. I just love this stuff. So this is, Tom, you're new, so I'll explain it to you. There's a band in Japan called the Cryptocurrency Girls. They dress up like...
No, the Virtual Currency Girls.
They dress up like maids with luchador wrestling masks with the logos... Like
French maids with luchador wrestling masks?
Yeah.
With the logos of popular cryptocurrencies on them. And they're basically one of those dancing...
Okay, there are mashups and then there are mashups.
Yeah, I know.
They're a J-pop band, so...
Yeah. And they're...
I'm still getting used to baby metal.
I don't know if we actually talked about baby metal at all. I love them so much.
I think they're great.
And it melted my brain.
But yeah, it's the same stuff.
Yeah.
As Virtual Currency Girls, except they're singing about being safe with when you're using cryptocurrency. Like, be sure and change your passwords often and make them complicated.
I think my favorite thing about...
Hold a gang. Just kidding.
About baby metal, that isn't specifically about baby metal, is when somebody sort of went to Rob Zombie about it. And sort of like, look at these guys. Isn't that funny? And Rob Zombie's response is, well, they're harder than you are.
Mm-hmm.
Baby, don't give me... it sounds like I'm making fun of them. And I think when it comes to virtual currency girls, there might be an element of truth to that because of my opinions of virtual currency. But I kind of love the idea that they will make, like, girl bands out of literally any concept in Japan.
I don't always understand Japanese culture, but I would guess there's some sense of humor behind what they're doing.
I think there might be some certain sort of sense of humor, but the performers are taking it very seriously. I think they're being paid in virtual currency. And then you've got these like really talented musicians, session musicians in the studios who are doing a lot of the production for these groups. So it's not like it's musically empty. I'll put it that way.
Oh yeah.
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 Not that I'm a music critic. This is not Pitchfork. This is Ask Anything.
Noisy.
Yeah. But did it remind me of Sodium? And I will take any opportunity to talk about my favorite television series of all time, Mystery Science Theater, The Real Bits. I'm not trying to say that the new Mystery Science Theater, the reboot, season 11 and 12.
I haven't seen any of
I haven't
ones.
Seen it. I'm a little afraid of it, but there's...
I saw the first one.
Was it good?
Spoilers.
It's all right.
It's all right.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into to too much. I mean, when you start bringing in, you know, they brought in some ringers to do stuff with them. But yeah, it's kind of fun. I mean, I think they need to get seated back into the groove.
Well, if you go back and watch seasons 1 and 2 of the original show, it took them a while to get to fugitive alien levels of just absurdity. But actually, I would say it actually did remind me of the Sodium song. You are absolutely right, RNSB. Except that apparently the lyrics of the Virtual Currency Girls song actually involve like have a good password.
Yeah, instead of just repeating the word
it's
Sodium.
Like you're singing about safe sex.
It very similar. Yeah, there's a similarity there.
With cryptocurrency.
Cryptocurrency. Yeah. Have safe similar. Cryptocurrency
safe
sex.
Transactions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where the lyrics of Sodium's, the Sodium song is...
Sodium. Yeah.
Sodium.
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 Potassium.
Sodium.
Sodium. But it's more of a 50s doo-wop style.
Yeah, it is.
I had never heard the Sodium song before.
Okay, we need to watch that. Yeah, that's Becky's favorite episode. Horror of Party Beach.
A good bad movie.
I don't know if it's Becky's. So Becky has like two favorite episodes for two different reasons. She likes the Horror of Party Beach movie as the movie because it's terrible. And it's a teenage beach movie that takes place in New England. So there's a little bit of, you know...
Okay.
Homeness there. Mm-hmm. And it's also horrible. But she also likes the music in Werewolf a lot. So that's the other thing. Horror of Party Beach, I think is one of Stephen King's favorite movies because it's a horror
movie. Slasher flick.
Set in New England with teenagers. It's kind of
He wrote it.
Yeah.
As a kid,
he wrote it. Yeah. So I will taking any opportunity. I am not being an elitist by not watching the new Mystery Science Theater 3000. I have fear, and I openly admit my fear. And there is this thing that I do where I ration Mystery Science Theater 3000 like a precious resource. There are four episodes that I have only seen when they aired, and I own them, and I have not seen them since because I'm.
Savor the special occasion.
For the specialness. Yeah, it's a thing that I do. So that's why I haven't seen it. But did the Virtual Currency Girls remind me of Sodium? Absolutely. Our second email also has a musical accompaniment. Vim from the internet writes, "Hello, Sam. I heard you mention you looked into bands that combined accordion and bagpipes in their music, but that you weren't impressed by the music you found. One of my hobbies is ball folk, which is a modern interpretation of traditional dances. Both accordion and bagpipe are frequently used instruments by the bands that play ball folk music, so some bands have them both. There are, of course, different kinds of bagpipes and accordions. French bagpipes are most used bagpipes in ball folk, followed by Julian bagpipes, Irish bagpipes, and I don't know which kind you prefer. Some bands also throw a hurdy-gurdy into the mix to complement the list of least-liked musical instruments." Thank you, Vim. And so he also sent us this music, which is Hellboy by Narragonia, and I'm probably pronouncing that incorrectly. Oh. It is a Belgian band, I believe.
Yeah, I think they were from Belgium.
Yeah, and you said this...
I want a copy of this.
This will be in the show notes. All of this will be in the show notes, so you can find it there at atheist.radio.
Yeah.
So this sent you, Meredith, this sent you down a...
I went down a little YouTube rabbit hole. I don't know. I kind of like this for some reason. But it was fun watching the video. They're a little quartet. And then I went down a rabbit hole of all their other videos, and they switch up instruments all the time. It's not just the standard setup that they have. I think they've got like a fiddle, a guitar, bagpipes, and accordion here.
This branch of the folkmosphere has a lot of multi-instrumentalists in it, and they're all like, I've got friends who do this sort of thing. And I don't see him too much, unfortunately. But they play like six or seven instruments, and it's a little baffling to me.
I used to not like accordions before this. It's like that joke about you go to heaven, they give you a harp. You go to hell, they give you an accordion.
Yeah.
But this is great.
I really like it. It'll be in the show notes. And Vim, you ran into a little bit of protective coloration on my part. I do it without thinking, and sometimes I don't consider it. You literally ran in. I literally do the thing that I try not to do on the air, which is essentially lie in order to get out of a conversation.
What did you lie about?
I didn't say I didn't like it. I suggested that the people I was which included you, I believe.
Probably.
That they wouldn't like it. It would be, I think I said, it's as good as you'd expect.
Well.
And that's a vague statement.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would expect it to be very good. Because as it happens, I kind of like this stuff a lot. For example, the thing that I was talking about before was based on the fact that I like this kind of stuff and most of my friends kind of hate my musical tastes, this was why it was going to be at my wake, is it's my way of revenge on my friends after I no longer exist, is a bunch of instruments that I like that nobody else does, and now you got to sit there and pretend to like it because I'm dead, you jackasses.
That is very Sam of you.
that's precisely what was happening there. Do not get me wrong. No, I love the bagpipes. I love most bagpipes I've ever encountered. Irish, Scottish, and now Spanish. Because while I was reading up on Spain, the politics of Spain, I ended up in the section on Asturias. And there, the folk music is Spanish bagpipes, a fife, a small accordion. It's like literally all the instruments, minus a hurdy-gurdy, that I would play at my wake. And so... I specifically avoided saying I didn't like it, but I intimated that it might not be good because this is my protective coloration when it comes to my musical tastes. And it was a crap thing of me to do because it misconstrued my opinions, which is never a good thing. And I was also doing it to the wrong crowd because Meredith was there. I might have been there. It turns out you really like this stuff. So I even got it wrong.
Yeah.
I did it completely wrong. Like, people I would expect.
Actually like the music at your funeral.
Right. And Tom and I have similar musical tastes. So if Tom were in the room, I wouldn't pretend. I would say, hey, it's great. Go to hell.
My musical tastes are maybe a little more eclectic than you might presume they are.
I guarantee that most people's musical tastes are more eclectic than I assume, because I assume that... I
assume everyone just listens to the radio.
Right.
And when you said the Spanish music, is that a particular subculture? With all the politics going on over there?
Asturias is the most northernish bit of Spain. It's near Portugal. It's like sort of like between Portugal and the Basque region. And
is it a Celtic?
Yeah, it absolutely is.
Duh.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the Celtic bands, yeah. And thus the instruments that you get. So when I stumbled upon that, Becky was in the room like, Becky, I found my funeral music, which that sounds creepy. So that's what that was. So this is my way of apologizing to you, Meredith, to my friends in general, and to Vim from the internet for also being a fan of this kind of thing and misconstruing it. So have I have I have I dug in the dirt long enough on this one, you think?
Sometimes yeah. people like good stuff.
It's strange, right?
Yeah.
So, Megan from Texas writes, who is your favorite god or goddess? Tom, you go first because you're new and we're torturing you.
My favorite, but there's so many to choose from.
Yeah.
I am a devout follower of the best culture jamming pseudo religion Church of Subgenius. I am the Reverend Bolt Upright in another life.
It's always,
and we Subgenii believe in the short duration personal savior.
Right.
Yes. For a while, it really was a bottle of Thunderbird. And, and
what's the price?
Yeah. But you know, you don't have to. Just it. You can put it down, pick up another. I'm actually kind of worshiping a, you know, an X-ray burst from another galaxy that's heading our way. It's my,
that's
the current one. You know, yeah. Yeah. You know, it's got to go somehow. It'll be quick.
That is true.
Yeah.
I always wondered. Like I've always wanted to have the Reverend Stang on the show.
Oh yeah,
but I don't know how that would go. And I think I would like it.
Yeah, yeah. Don't even try to control the situation.
Oh yeah. No, I would say welcome to the show. Goodbye. How about you, Meredith?
I'm gonna have to go with a fictional demigod for this one. So not technically a goddess.
Is there
but
a difference between gods and demigods, or are they just...
Well, demigods are like half gods.
Oh, okay, fair.
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman is a god.
Yeah, she's a demigod. So depending on the origin story that you look at, she was either sculpted from clay from her mother, or was Zeus's half-daughter?
Not vomited.
Right?
Zeus didn't vomit her. She didn't...
No.
Okay, then not one of...
Burst forth from... his head.
I would worship Wonder Woman.
Wow.
And her,
that's
well,
a...
she stands for peace and love and justice.
Okay.
And wants to fight for the good of humanity.
All right.
I can see a lot of myself in her, actually. I mean, not wait. Oh, that made me sound conceited. I aspire to be like Wonder Woman.
I think a little bit of both is okay.
Yeah. All right.
We all kind of went on the same theme to the point where I feel like I have to change my answer midstream and
go with
the god Elagabalus, who was the patron god, the Syrian patron god of the emperor Elagabalus, and read up what Gibbon et al. Has to say about him. It's interesting, I'll put it that way. But I was going to say King Chochacho from the webcomic Akewood, who is the fun god. That is literally, he's the god of just hanging out.
That all sounds right. like the kind of god that we need.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's Dionysus. This sounds
often.
More in my speech.
Yeah. They go into it a little bit, as much as they go into that sort of thing in the webcomic. But one of the central characters to the show, Ray, who is a cat who wears this kind of gaudy gold medallion around his neck at all times. And it's there for the whole show. It's there for the whole series. The series ended, I think, last year, or 2 years ago, and it's never explained why he wears it, but it makes sense for the kind of person that he is, but then he loses it in one storyline. It turns out it's ink and gold, and it's representative, it's the horcrux of King Chochacho, the fun god, or something like that.
Oh.
And it causes anyone who wears it to want to chill out and have a good time and not really worry about it.
Where do I get one of these?
I know, right?
Why does it sound like the stoner god to me?
There's that.
Yes.
Okay.
There is that. Yes.
I'm cool with that.
There's
maybe that's why I like him so much.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Just like the orb from Sleeper, you know, Woody Allen.
Oh, God. Yeah. I tend not to think about Woody Allen these days. But
this is back when. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good movie. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Sleeper. So, yeah, that's our answers. We all picked the gods that I pretty much assume that you didn't think we'd pick, or at least not that what you were hoping we would pick. Like, nobody's going to pick Yahweh.
Yeah, he's a
Shazbot.
He does
exist. Hey, listen, I'm going to get rid of this X-ray burst, God. I can now pick up this hanging out God.
Yeah.
That's my new one.
I really...
That's the short duration personal savior.
Yeah, I really suggest Akewood if you haven't read it. I reference... I think I've referenced Akewood 3 or 4 times on the show. I referenced it in my... I know everybody likes the spoons argument when it comes to depression. I think the best example of depression in internet literature is this one episode of Akewood that I reference that. And yeah, it's definitely worth reading. It's a very, very specific kind of humor. Right. We have one more, or do we? I don't know. All right. Camila from Quebec writes, is there any verse in the Bible that comforts you? Is there any verse that you find wise? Any tale whose moral is worth teaching to your children or students? Meredith.
It's been so long since I've read the Bible that I can't remember any off the top of my head that I love. I know there's like some good verses in Ephesians about getting along and loving your fellow man, and that's all good stuff, but I don't look to the Bible for my inspiration.
Tom?
Well, I've been making fun of the Bible for a while now, but there are good, there really are some good things in there.
There's some
thousands and thousands
decent.
Of
there's some decent lid in there, not a whole. Not
try
a whole
the golden rule. I mean, that even.
Oh, I have,
that even kind of works for the most part.
I have I have severe structural issues with the golden.
Well, there's game theory elements to where you got to have. There has to be a balance to it that it doesn't include.
And the golden rule might be a very early precursor of game theory. So
and
that's cool.
As an opening gambit, hey, it's not a bad way to go. You know,
I've been known to say Jesus wept occasionally, but that's about it. And that's all the time we have. This is Ask an Atheist. Our phone number is 844-753-7842. That is toll free. Our email address is questions@atheist.radio. Our website is atheist.radio. Our Twitter is AskAnAtheistWA. We should probably check our Twitter more often. Hey, if you like Twitter and want to help out, hey, hit me up. I'm just terrible at this. Our website is still atheist.radio. Thank you, Meredith.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
I hope you had fun on your first time out.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Fantastic,
definitely.
We only barely touched on game theory, which we should probably talk a bit more about. See you guys next week.